Hello and welcome to St. Andrew's Church at Home today. My name is Andrew Gill and I'm so grateful that you are watching this video and I pray that God will be speaking to you through it. My question for you this morning is, do you realize how much you are loved by God? Last weekend was Valentine's and people all over the world were doing lots of things to show the people that are important to them just how much they care. But today, do you realize how much you are loved by God? Now, for some of you, that answer might be yes, but for others, it might be no way. How could God possibly love me? I'm too unimportant, I'm insignificant, or I've done such terrible things, God couldn't love me. Or maybe you're just not so sure. You think, well, maybe God loves me, but I'm just not convinced of it. Maybe for some of you, God's love is something that you know in your head, but you don't know it in your heart. Or maybe for some of you, that question just makes you feel really uncomfortable. And talking about God's love is not something that just sits well with you. Today, we're going to look at a parable that is all about God's love. We see his wild compassion, forgiveness, and grace, and his excessive desire for his children to be with him. When Jesus first told this parable, there would have been two groups of people in the audience. There would have been the tax collectors and sinners, and then there would have been the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And actually, to both of these groups, God's love was something that was distant to them. See, the tax collectors and the sinners, as they were called by everybody else, they were outcasts, they were outsiders. The religious people looked down on them and they thought God could never love us. God's love is for other people, but not for us. Whereas the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were self-righteous. They had kept all the laws and all the commandments. And they didn't feel that God's compassion, grace, or forgiveness was something that they needed. Love was a currency that they had no value in. But God loved both of those groups of people. God loves all of us. And so he sent his son Jesus into this world to seek and save the lost. The story that we're going to look at today starts in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 2, which says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable." Jesus is criticized for loving the outsider, and he replies with three parables. The first is about a farmer who searches for a lost sheep. The second one is about a woman who searches for a lost coin. And it's the third one that we're going to look at in a bit more detail today. It's commonly called the prodigal son. But actually, there are two sons in this story, and both of them are equally lost. But the focus is on what the father does and how he responds to them. So it should really be called the parable of a loving father's response to his two lost sons. But I suppose that's not quite as catchy. But let's read this parable. And it starts in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." What the younger son does here is absolutely deplorable. He goes to his father and says, "I can't wait for you to die. Give me my inheritance now." And then once he has his share of the inheritance, he sells this part of the land, which would have been the family for generations, and then he moves to a far off, distant country. He wants nothing more to do with his father or the family. And once he's in this distant land, he just recklessly spends all his money on self-indulgent living. He is so irresponsible with his money. He is spending it as if there is no tomorrow. But eventually, the consequences catch up with him. And let's pick up the story again in verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He's gone from being a father's son to a farmer's slave. He had everything, but now he has nothing. Even the pigs are living a better life than he is. And I imagine in Jesus' audience, some were thinking, well, it serves him right. He was foolish, he was reckless, and he got what was coming to him. But maybe there were others in Jesus' audience that were able to identify him with him. They understood how the foolish choices of youth can leave you with unimaginable consequences that you just cannot get out of. The younger son has hit rock bottom, and he finally comes to his senses. And in verse 17, he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" He regrets all that he has done, and he comes up with a plan to return home and to beg his father for mercy. And he writes a speech asking him to hire him as one of his servants. And so he gets up, he gets ready, and he starts to journey home. But what happens next is shocking. And when you're familiar with this story, you kind of lose just the dramatic twist that there is, because it is just extraordinary how the father responds. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So I have a confession to make, and that is that I only discovered what the word prodigal means this week. And it means to be reckless. It means to be wasteful. It's an old-fashioned word that describes what this younger son did with his inheritance. But that word could be used to describe the excessive love that the father has. Because he sees his son, meaning that he was looking out for him. And his first response is to be filled with compassion. He wasn't angry. He wasn't bitter. He had compassion when he saw the state of his son returning to him. And he ran. He ran to him and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him and he embraced him as a son. Now, if you knew the father, you might want to say, well, well slow down a little bit. Like, remember what he did. Remember how he hurt you. Remember all the terrible things that he has done. Don't be so quick to accept him back. But in the father's mind and in the father's heart, his son was dead and he has come back to life. And so he throws a party to celebrate that his son has returned home. This is a picture of God's love. So often in these parables, the characters represent real life people. And in this story, the father represents God and the younger son represents the sinners that Jesus came to save. And the story illustrates God's great compassion, how he longs to receive them back into his love as children, even though they don't deserve it. And there are ways that we can be like the younger son too. Maybe you've run away from God and turned your back on him. Maybe you've never known God, but you've tried to live life your own way and seen that it doesn't work out. Or maybe even as a Christian, over these last few weeks of lockdown, you've been turning to bad habits and you've just not been spending time with God. Whether it's been in the big way or the small way, you've put distance between you and God. But see from this story how much God loves you. He desires to embrace you with his love. Not reluctantly, but he does it by rejoicing. Today, if you return to God or come to him for the first time, there will be a party in heaven celebrating that the lost has been found. But of course, that's not the end of the story, because what about the older son? Let's read from verses 25 to 28. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come home," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. The older son is furious and he refuses to go in to the party. Why? Why is he so angry? Because even though physically he didn't go anywhere, relationally he was just as distant from the father. Even though he was a son, he lived his life as though he was a servant. He wanted to be rewarded for all the work that he had done. He wanted to be thrown a party because he earned it. And he finds this excessive kindness of the father almost offensive. And in this story, the older brother represents the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, because they thought through following the law and obeying the commands, they earned God's blessing. They wanted to work their way up to God. They wanted their righteousness to be their own effort and their own accomplishment. There are ways that we can be like the older son too, that we can desire to be lauded as a servant because we deserve it, rather than being loved as a son by grace. But God's love is for the older brother too. Listen to his response. "So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The father comes out and he pleads with his eldest son to come into the party and to join the celebration. But as the story ends, we're not sure what he does, what decision he makes. It's left open. It's left for the people that heard it. What are they going to do? What about us? What are we going to do? Are we going to stay outside in the cold? Or are we going to join in the celebration of God's love? God doesn't want you to be a servant to sin. And he doesn't want you to be a slave to your own self-righteousness either. Through the great love that he has demonstrated to us through the cross, his desire is to make you his child. So many of us are familiar with this story, but have we experienced the love that it speaks of? Today, watching this, maybe you're like the younger son, and maybe you've been living your life without God, doing all the wrong things. know today that he is seeking for you. God is waiting for you to return to him. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've messed up, if you return to him today, then he will embrace you with his compassion. Or maybe today you're like the older son and you've done all the right things, but yet you're still living your life without God, trusting in your own accomplishments. Know today that God is pleading with you to come in and to experience his grace and to join the celebration of his love. Jesus came to give life to the dead. Let his love find you today.